This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Okay, turn me to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. We are on the final session. We are on the final session of the series on the Word for 2017. You know, it's to me, not just because I'm saying it, but that I thought that all the words are so powerful and it's so weighty. I think if you are wise, including myself, you know, every time I say it, everything include myself, you know, even though this is the final sessions, if you are wise, we have to take heed to what all that has been said over the last three, four Fridays. And yes, the word of the 2017 is over, but that we don't just be the hearer of the word, but we have to respond and do something. The doing something is not earning it. The doing something is about responding. You know, one of the things that God keeps saying is, wisdom is more than understanding. Wisdom is you know what you need to do and you respond. Ignorance, if you actually don't know what's happening and you don't know what to do. Foolishness is you know what to do, but you did not actually do it at the end of the day. So don't be ignorant. I mean, for us, we have no ground for ignorance. We've been talking about some of this thing over the last 10 years, you know. But we can be foolish, you know. We think that we understand, and that we think that that is sufficient, but understanding without responding is not sufficient. We have to respond so that we will grow and cultivate. No? So that's why Matthew chapter 7, the house that built on the rock and the house that built on the sand is so important, is so crucial. Be wise. Don't just be the hearer of the word and without responding. Then we will be like the house that built on the sand. When the rain comes, when the storm comes, when the flood comes, it will collapse. And great it is for. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to verse 27. But be wise, be the hearer of the word and also to respond. Yes, there are price they have to pay. There are sacrificing of time, energy, money, and losing of opportunity. But we are wise if we respond. Because we've been saying over the last few years, in fact, last 2 years, 2015, 2016, the Lord is really setting the stage for us to understand what is to come. That's why the things that we're saying is like we keep saying the storm is coming. It's not going to get better. But we can grow stronger. We can burn hotter. We can shine brighter. And it's not automatic. And this year, the word of the Lord is really, God is giving us keys. He's giving us wisdom so that we know how to respond. Not just how to respond, to do it. That's why the very first sessions, we talk about the sure mercies of David, which is the call to cultivate confidence in the leadership of Jesus. Because everything can be shaken, will be shaken. If our confidence is not built on, or we are not standing upon the confidence of the rock of Jesus Christ, and especially we are about to move, in fact, we are into uncharted territory. We have never been this way before. Everything will be unprecedented, both positive as well as negative. You know, I know many people say, so what is there to worry about if it's positive that's unprecedented? Oh, we have no idea. Our heart can be easily offended. If you study the history of revival, every time revival or the new move of God breaks in, there's always two camps. One jumps straight into it, embrace it fully. I mean, of course, some say foolishly too. But there are another camp that really resists really hard. So we don't assume that we will embrace even what is unprecedented, that is going to be positive. But the key is there's going to be both positive as well as negative, that we are moving into uncharted territory, you know. Many people say we have never been this way before. That's where it's so vital for us to cultivate our confidence in the leadership of Jesus. That's where the first session we talked about the sure mercy of David, which is talking about his faithfulness is sure. His mercy is sure. He leads us so well. The key is not that God is not able to lead Jesus. It's the absolutely fantastic, great leader and the good shepherd. The issue is whether we will resist. That's where Jesus ends John chapter 21 by telling Peter, you know, when you are young, you want to gird yourself, you know, wear your own clothes, you know, wear wherever you wish. But when you are old, that means when you are mature, you stretch out your hand and let me lead and let me gird you. You know, it doesn't happen automatically because truth be told, most people, when we get older, we don't become wiser. We don't become more tender. We don't yield more. We actually resist more because our heart gets harder because cement of our heart has become dry and we have a certain paradigm about God and worse, we have a certain lifestyle that we cannot budge. That's why I always worry when people always say, I have this bottom line. For God, there shouldn't be bottom line. You have to give him a blank check. He's not going to ruin you. He's not going to mess you up. He only will do good for you because of the sure mercies of David. That's why it's so vital. You know, I've been meditating a lot on Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 because it's so crucial, that verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Truth be told, I don't know how much, definitely not all, maybe some, maybe more. I hope I'm increasing over the years. But the issue, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Because there will come a time we will not understand many things. The worst thing is that we may not even understand God. That's one of the most important pastoral questions that's going to hit the surface of the earth when crisis comes is, if God is a God of mercy, is a God of kindness, he is good, why is he allowing such thing to happen? Many will be offended. That's where we need to cultivate. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Not some. Now we can get away with some of our ways. But there will come a time in every way we have to acknowledge the Lord. Not that we need to, not about, you know, God kind of like bossy, he's petty, you need to ask for permission, if not I get upset. No, he wants to lead us. There will come a time, it will not be good enough. It's just some of our ways. But in all of our ways, we will acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. He will lead us. No, the issue is not God kind of like petty, you know. If you don't acknowledge him, he's going to cause your path to be not straight or crooked. It's that we're going to mess ourselves up because he wants to lead us. He has a perfect plan for us. Hebrews 12:1. Talks about there's a cloud of weakness. Okay, now you all straighten that verse, which is good. Okay, it's not cheering you on. As a testimony to throw off everything that hinders, every sin that entangles. Some of the things that hinder us is that we don't really trust his leadership. That's why it's so important. The very first session, we talk about the sure mercies of David. We need to cultivate our confidence in the leadership of Jesus. The issue is not his leadership. The issue is our confidence. Are we confident enough to just get the free fall? No, that's why I know I have this statement which M1 took it. You know, one life to live, free fall for Jesus. No, the beauty of it is that there's always this line that, you know, or rather not this line, that's not bungee jump, you know. God will let you jump, he will catch you right at the end. Likely to be right at the end. So he's going to go through this, hopefully it's, you jump, boop. But likely to be you jump, boop. Because he wants you to develop confidence, faith, character. That takes a journey. If it's only poop, no, you jump, poop, likely you're not going to grow much in terms of your confidence and your character. So fasten your seatbelt. No, don't fasten your seatbelt. Take the leap. Of course, cultivate the confidence in the Lord. God will not allow anybody to to good cars, crash right into the floor, you know, with all your, no, you're censored there. Okay, that's not nice to talk about. So the first one is the sure mercies of David, the call to cultivate confidence in the Lord. No, we are all weak. The issue is not whether you are weak or strong. We all will be weak. That's where we need to have confidence in the leadership of Jesus. I always use this statement. I do not put confidence in my ability to follow Jesus. I put confidence in His ability to lead me. More and more, I'm going to need that confidence because I can't figure out many things. Truly, I can't. No. But He knows how to figure out things for me. And He's going to lead me well. That's why it's so vital. No? This is not just for this January. You know, we pray only in January for yourself and so on. You know, it's for 2017. It's for 2018. It's for 2019. For 2020. And forever until He returns. We're going to cultivate the confidence in the leadership of Jesus. And we are why we have this community is to spur one another. You know? Make sure you don't push me first. I push you for the free fall. See who jump first. You know? Not this play this game of who dares. You know? Yeah, you know, like someone told me this joke. You know? They said, let's all jump together. No, actually, we did that long time ago in the army, you know, standing on top of that. I don't know what that called. Everybody said, 1, 2, 3, all jump. 1, 2, 3. Guess who jump only? Of course, the most foolish one, which is me. Everybody laugh. So let's all leap together. Let's spur one another on to grow confidence in the leadership of Jesus. No, not just so that we can preach a sermon, so that we get invited. That's the least important in my mind. Most important is that I have confidence in the Lord. I don't care whether I'm invited or not invited, whether I have a pulpit or platform to speak. I mean, that is unimportant to me. It's a non-issue. Okay, so the first one is sure mercies of David. And the second sessions, we talk about being wise and watchful. Being wise and watchful as a house of prayer is so important. It's so important. We need to watch. That's why I like the line that just now y'all were singing. We will watch, we will pray. And what's another one? We will watch, we will pray. We will wait. Yeah, we will watch, we will pray, we will wait. That is wisdom. And that is key to make ourselves ready. Being ready is about having a vibrant spirit and a heart that is alive. We need that. We need that. As you go further and further down the road, darkness is increasing. Light is also getting brighter. We can't afford to have a dull spirit. We will not stand. We need a vibrant spirit, a heart that is alive, that inner man that is strong. So that we can withstand, you know, the Luke 21, verse 35, Jesus said, so that you will find strength to stand as the Son of Man comes. Because it's not going to be pushed over. It's going to be a great storm. That's why we need to watch. We need to pray. We need to be wise. We need to cultivate and buy oil. That's the key thing. Third session, two Fridays ago, I love that, you know. It's the testimony of Jesus, which is the call for us to encounter and find delight in the beauty of Jesus. Isaiah 33 verse 6 makes it very clear. It's a stabilizing factor in the coming storm. No, the storm is not just physical storm. You know, I say we are no longer in peacetime, we are war. I'm not just talking about physical war. Yes, we're going to have a physical war one day. There will be World War III. The Bible makes it clear. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about many war that is going, many battle front that is going to come. Distraction, temptation, fear, darkness, sin, lust. There will be many battle front. There's only one safe and sure way to overcome. Not just to overcome, but overcome with joy. You know, like the old saying, say you laugh all your way to the bank. No, this is not about laughing all the way to the bank. You are laughing all the way while you are suffering because you are enjoying the beauty and the glory of Jesus. Again, this is more than just developing some language or sing some song. I think that'll be help. That would be helpful. That will help in our sessions. But it has to be something that every one of us have to encounter and find delight, because there will be a great distractions, great temptation, great lust and fear that will arise. The only thing that will... No, I'm not frightening. I'm not trying to frighten anybody. I'm telling the reality. Just read Isaiah 33. The only stabilizing factor is when we find the beauty of God. Actually, that verse, you know, verse 6 also talks about another thing, which is to find the fear of the Lord. That's one other thing I need to come back and talk about, is that we need to find the fear of the Lord, because the Bible makes it very clear, the fear of the Lord will keep us from evil. That kind of temptation that is going to come, we need the fear of God. Not biting the bullets, grinding our teeth that we can resist. No, we can't. Not by our sheer discipline and strength, we will not make it. We need to find delight in the beauty of Jesus, that our heart is captivated, captured, and fascinated, as well as we have to find the fear of God in our heart so that we will shun evil because of the fear of the Lord. Today, we're going to talk about being the friends of the bridegroom, which is vital. It's an invitation of, I know specifically, so important and so relevant even unto us, because we are living in unprecedented time. The great need of the hour is God needs a friend. God needs a voice. The church needs the true shepherd. That's what it means to be Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. And when you read it carefully, God said, I'm giving you. He's going to raise up a different group of people as a gift to the body of Christ. The great need of the hour is God needs a friend to stand, hear, pray, and out at the place of waiting, we will be that voice that will speak. And also out of the place of waiting, our heart will be broken. We grow in love, because the voice of God or the forerunner is not just some male man. We got male. Deliver you the message. That's it. No, it's more than a messenger. If you read all the prophecy in Isaiah concerning forerunners, primarily it's from Isaiah 40 and Isaiah 62. Isaiah 40 is about the voice standing with God, preparing the way for the Lord. Isaiah 62 is about the voice that is standing with the people of God, preparing the way for the people. So it's not just delivering some message, I got meal, bye-bye, that's it. No, God is not raising up some postman. He's raising up a voice. He's raising up true shepherd. Because we are on the verge of the greatest storm, as well as on the verge of the greatest revival. Light is getting brighter. Darkness is going to get darker. People need to know. They need to have clarity to understand. And that's where there's a need of the people of God to arise with clarity and courage to speak, even if it's unpopular. When no one is saying, someone will stick out the neck to speak so that other people will prepare. People who are real, deep, authentic. That's why being wise and watchful is so important, because later we'll go to Jeremiah 23. One of the most important books that we need to read right now is the book of Jeremiah. God said, I have not spoken, yet you run. You know what that means? There are a lot of people, including sometimes ourselves too, we have not really heard the heart of God or the voice of God. We already proclaim, we already preaching. God said, don't run. I have not spoken yet. You have not stand in my counsel to hear my voice. And we go further in Isaiah chapter 33. That's where the Lord through prophet Isaiah said, anyone who has a dream, or rather a prophet who has a dream, tell the dream. A prophet who has a word, speak the word, so that the word will go forth like fire, like hammer. But you go back to a few verses, God said, who has stood in my counsel to hear me? And then go another few verses now and say, why are you speaking? Why are you running? Because I have not spoken yet. That's why this is so, so vital. The great need of the hour is someone who has clarity, who has understanding, and more than that, who has courage that will speak. Take me to Daniel chapter 11. You know, we like to pray Daniel chapter 11. No, Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 and verse 33 is talking about someone who has understanding that will instruct, that will prepare the way. Firstly, for the Lord. That's why I'm so stern. You know? Like yesterday, we sang about the second coming. Today, we sang about the second coming. It's like, God, are you telling us something? I think one of the key things is that there must be voices of God to talk about what this second coming is all about. So that our heart is stirred. How can we be like what Paul say in Titus 2:13? No, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearance of our great God and the Lord Jesus Christ when we have no clue what second coming is all about. We have no clue who is this king that's coming. We need the Isaiah 40 voice. You know, if you read Isaiah chapter 40, there's a voice that says, what should I say? And then God say, cry out. This message, one of it is, behold, the Lord God is coming with a mighty hand. That's where we need that voice who understand, who has courage, who has clarity that we need to speak. And it takes time. It's not going to happen automatically. The waiting, the watching, the praying is so vital. Where did John the Baptist receive the word? At the wilderness. We'll talk about the wilderness later. At the wilderness. That's why I always tell young people, don't be in a hurry. Wilderness is your friend. But don't be casual too. Until you're not in a hurry, then basically you're just not doing anything. No, you need to learn how to balance both. Don't be in a hurry, yet don't be casual. Wilderness is our friend. Silent is our friend. Waiting is our friend. No, in the Bible, the word wait is not a passive word. The word wait is an active, proactive word. You are waiting for something. You are paying attention. You're just sitting there, wait, oh, you know, don't know when is it coming back. So I just drink a few latte, then fall asleep. No, it is a very proactive word. You wait. You wait and you watch. It's a very intense word, okay? Yeah, turn to me. That's why, obviously I agree. Many people say English is weak. Yeah, I don't study Greek, but I heard a lot of things about Greek. Wow, Greek can express a lot of emotions and meaning, which is true. Ask Annabelle, she is a linger. Yeah. Okay, turn to me to Daniel 11, verse 33. Or rather, let me read from verse 32. Because the great need of this hour is God needs a friend of the bridegroom to stand, to hear, and to pray. That's the reason why we are here, you know, 2-3 nights or some every night, you know, 50-day fast. It's like, man, you know, it's a pain. Why? John the Baptist, friends of the bridegroom, John chapter 3, verse 29. I am but the friends of the bridegroom who stands and hears his voice. And there's something further. We want to agree with his heart. Because as we go further and further, not everybody will agree with his heart and his will because we do not understand. Many will be offended. Some will resist. But God needs a friend. That's why it's called the friends of the bridegroom. Being a friend means you know the heart. More than just knowing the heart, you are concerned about God's burden. That's why we pray this prayer. You know, it's not just a cliche. What are you thinking, God? What are you feeling? That's a classic prayer for any friends of the bridegroom. Because we want to know your heart. We want to know what you are feeling. Why are you grieved? What are you thinking? What is your prayer? What is your plan? All we want to do is standing here and agree with you in prayer. People say, wow, so free. Do you know that agreeing is very intense? Try, you know, last 50 days, you know, we kind of like really stretch. that 50 days of agreeing. You know, agreeing is fun at times. Sometimes it's intense. That's why God needs the friends of the bridegroom to stand and hear his voice. I know many people ask, why we need to come 2-3 times a week? No, you don't understand. It's a privilege. Sometimes you feel nothing. It's a privilege. You know, I grew up, I was dreaming Psalms 27 verse 4. To me, I know concept of Psalms 27 verse 4. 1988, 1989, I said, God, I want to do Psalms 27 verse 4. I have no clue what it is about. I am doing it now. Wow. No, so one day, 50-day fast, Sunday, I came at 10 a.m. Yeah, no, got FSI, then got whatever. Then after that, got the Joel, don't know what. Then got prayer 2 session, 10 p.m., finish everything, debrief. I say, I'm tired. Let's go home. It's a long day. I mean, my true blue good wife. Know what she say? Kichang, don't complain. Didn't you always say, want to do Psalms 27, verse 4? Don't complain. Take it as an honor. So, oops. This is true. You know, this is true. Sometimes we all never think about it. There's only one generation that's going to do 24-7 prayers. Only one generation. Of course, every generation, they are 24-7 prayer. But there's only one generation globally, nationwide, is awakening to 24-7 prayers. There is only one generation. Our generation. Wow. Wow. It's no longer the issue of whether it will happen. It's the issue of when it will happen. So I went back, swallowed my humble pie, and it's a big one. Okay, don't complain. You know. Yeah, let's say go back. You know, next tomorrow come, you know, more excited. You know, kind of got rebuilt by my wife. So God needs a friend. Where am I? Okay, Daniel 11, verse 32. Daniel 11. No, you see, the key is this. We are not going to make it as a friend of the bridegroom. We are not going to make it as a voice. We are not going to make it as a Jeremiah 3:15 shepherds that God is raising up unless we learn to feel his heart. Engage his heart. This is not a duty. Duty is not going to sustain. Not even good music. The music is very good. But us, Faith and Annabelle, after a while, ask him, are you enjoying it? He said, not too sure. Can't say with the conviction. No, I fully understand. Don't worry. It's not a rebuild. This is an understanding statement. It's not about music. This is not about commitment. This is not about obligation. This is about engaging his heart as a friend that you will stand. Even if the prayer is boring, that you will stand with him until the very end. Take me to Daniel 11, verse 32. Yes, the great need of the hour is God needs a friend. Will you be his friend? I love what JFK say, you know, when he make that inauguration speech 1960. He said this, ask not what the nation can do for you, but ask what you can do for your nation. It's time for the people of God to become mature. Not just ask God for blessings. Say, God, what can I do for you? Because God needs a friend. No, I'm not saying he's lonely. So you say, are you saying God is lonely? No. God is never lonely, but he needs a friend to agree with him. What an honor. What a privilege. So I was deservedly rebuked by my wife. Don't complain, Kei Chong. Which is true. I went back, humble pie, you know, that night. No Milo, I endure. You know, I'm just joking. Okay. Yeah, God needs a friend. God needs a voice, someone who has understanding and courage to speak with clarity. More and more, I realize that it is so unpopular and many people are not saying it. Yet, someone has to say, I was in my class gathering Wednesday. I mean, I was not surprised that believers are talking about second coming. But my heart grieves. People have no awareness what it is about. You know? I was sitting at the table, someone leaned, have you heard this prophecy? Must pay attention. September 23rd, this year. Something is going to happen. I said, what is going to happen? Raptured.
I said, huh? Tell me more.
And after that, you know, I say, you know, true blue, I just speak lah, no, never mind. Anyway, they know that I'm a minister. Say, let me tell you, I can guarantee you, my standard statement, I can guarantee you on my right is a pastor. On my left is a pastor. On my right is that guy who tell me, pay attention, September 23rd this year. So I went true blue as a voice of God. The forerunner spirit came upon me. No. Just that I need to be faithful. Okay. No, I just need to be faithful. So I say, well, you know, there are many things have to happen before Jesus can come back. Not likely. And I tell, look to him, I look to everybody. If Jesus come back on September 23rd, I give you my head. Everybody. Yeah, that'll be low head. Yeah. No, I'm saying this is so true. No, it is so true, and it's so scary. He is my brother, not because he's from ACS. He's my brother in Christ. Many, my brother in Christ, they have no clue. They have wrong information. Someone has to speak. That's why God needs a voice. Not just a voice, but someone has... After that, you know, everybody very cakey. And that's why I'm the only one who drink wine at my table. You know, because pastor, Methodist cannot. And whatever. So I drink. And then I realized I drank the whole bottle. You know. I hope they don't get stumbled. You know, because everyone is very quiet. Because I offer my head. But someone has to speak. You get what I'm saying? Someone has to speak. That's the key thing. But not just speak, but you must have clarity. Not just this foolish old man, 53, career is over, midlife crisis, need some attention and say something. We must get it right. Someone has to speak. That's why God needs a shepherd. A voice is, you must feel for that very people. No, I'm not saying I have a lot. I'm cultivating. More and more, you know, as I pray over the last 13, 14 years, I realized more and more I love the church. I may not agree everything, but I love the church. That's why I put on my Facebook, you know, I'm a forerunner. I'm not a voice. I'm a voice. I'm not some rebel trying to rock the boat until the rope capsized. I'm a voice seeking to build the Ark of the Covenant. I'm not trying to rock the boat. I'm building the Ark. So that people, firstly, the people of God, that they can understand. And then nations need to hear, crisis is coming. It is serious. Let's go to Daniel 11, verse 33. Now sounds fun. Lah. I have to gather lots of courage to say it. You know. Yeah. Thank God they didn't ask me to say grace. Because I say grace, I'm going to pray for everybody. No, I'm going to seriously, I say, you ask me to say, I'm going to pray. For everyone who do not believe in Jesus, God, I pray that you strike their heart. So they didn't ask me. Thank God. Okay. Verse 33, Daniel 11. For those of the people who understand, what should they do? They shall instruct many. God needs a voice. He needs a friend. He needs a voice. And he needs a true blue shepherd, not some mailman. Not some postman, not some messenger, someone that will feel his heart. More than just feel his heart. Someone that will feel for the sheep of God. Take me to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. I've been sharing quite a bit on Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 35. It's a very powerful prophetic picture of the great needs of the hour. We got to pay attention to this. The language may be different, but the message is the same. There is the great need. More than just the great need. I mean, the key is, do we even see it? Do I see it? And more than that, do we know how God feels? And what should we do? What should we do? That's why God needs a friend. God needs a voice. God needs a shepherd. You know, everything you can lump it in one word called the forerunners. He need that. No, forerunners is all three. If you have one less, You are not a true bull. You can be either too easy or too harsh without all three. You need to be a friend of God. And that's not easy. You need to be a voice. You need to speak without holding back. You need to be a shepherd. If you take away the shepherd, you'll always be harsh. If you're just a shepherd without being the voice, it's going to be nice. Just stroke. So you need all three as a friend of God so that you hear his heart. And then as a voice, you need to speak. And as the shepherd, you go after. You go after. And now I'm not looking, next month onwards, I'm not looking forward. Trips after trips, and the trips gets longer. I'm really not looking forward. Okay, so I'm trying to get, that's why I'm trying to get people to go with me, you know. That helps a little bit because some company. Take me to Matthew 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. Powerful prophetic picture of the great need of this hour. And you see the heart of Jesus. The language is different, but the message is the same. Time is slightly different, but the issue and the need is the same. In Truett, you know, just three verses, but powerful three verses, you hear the cry of Jesus and his invitation for us to pray. And we got to pray right. You know what Jesus ends by saying? The harvest is plentiful. Again, I say the language is different or the word is different, but the issue is the same. The harvest is plentiful. It's like, you know, in our context, you know, as we are heading to the end of the age, the stage is set. Everything is ready. But when Jesus looked, he said, my people are not ready. Where are the laborers? Where are the voices? Where are the shepherds? The stage is set. Everything is ready. Greatest revival, greatest crisis. But my people are unaware. My people are unprepared. Where is my voice? That's why I say pray for the laborers. He didn't say pray for the harvest. And that's why I've been telling myself, don't pray for more open doors. Open any wider, I don't know what to do with it. That means I must well migrate. But pray for voices to rise up. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest for laborers. Yes, language is different. Issue is the same. God needs his voice. God needs his shepherd to arise. That's why this year, you know, we're going to change the theme of the extreme time, require extreme measure, because enough of talking about crisis is coming. We want to say, we want to really speak. How do we prepare ourselves to be ready? How? That's why this year the theme will be great needs of the hour. I don't know how many years before we change again. But someone has to speak. Let's go to Matthew 9, verse 35. No, feel the heart of the Lord. Ask God to open our... I say that with... I'm a bit emotional because yesterday really affected me. I mean, I feel like... No, don't want to get too much and become a bit self-righteous. You mean you actually believe this crazy prophecy, September 23, that we're going to rapture? Of course, you didn't use the word rapture, but it's very close to it. No, I say not a chance. Not a chance. Someone has to speak. That's the key thing. Verse 35. I don't think that is unique, no. I mean, of course, not that extreme. By and large, not many people has awareness. We talk about second coming. What do you mean? What is going to happen? Are people aware? If people are aware, they're not going to live life business as usual. No, I'm not saying quitting job. There will be some change and ordering of life. By and large, people are unaware. We are not aware. Even if we are aware, it's only theory. Theory is not wise. Theory is not going to make you to buy oil. There need to be an awakening. That's why we need to pray. That's why I'm intense about more prayer sessions. You know, I was talking to some people, you know, in various households, prayer in Asia, and said that, no, we don't need more voices. We need more prayers. You think my preaching will change the heart of the people? No, we need more prayers. I'm praying this year we increase. Every day has at least 3 sessions. Why, all that stuff. Wow, just do 50 days. No, 2 sessions and about to die. No, if God increase, he will give us grace too. But that, no, it doesn't mean that we'll come all 3 lah. I'll give you a break so that you love Jesus. Yeah, no, what I'm saying is that there is a great need. You think about it, we pray about 14 hours 1 week. Every session, 1 set, 2 hours, 3 cycles of prayer. How many prayers we pray a week? 7 times 3. No, you take away Devo. 5 times 3. 15. That's not good. There's a great need. There's a great need. That's why we have to pray for the increase. Not that so that we can do greater conference, you know, get more famous. No, there is a need for awakening. For great awakening. Amen? Matthew 9:35 say this. Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and diseases among the people. That's a very powerful picture. It's what Jesus is going to do through his end time church at the end of the age. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But I'm not going to dwell here. Let's go to verse 36. Feel that verse. This just one verse is intense. Feel that verse. But when he saw, circle the word saw, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. No, you have to ask the question, why? The key is this, do we see? Do we see? Not see out of their judgmental eyes. No, we don't need the Matthew 7:1, no, there's this, no, judge, no. No, we are, no. What I'm saying is, do we see? And do we feel like what Jesus feel? Because he had compassion. He was anguished. He was broken. He was burdened. Because what is happening? Do we see? It is so important that we have to see from the eyes of our heart so that our heart will move. And one of the best prayers that we need to pray for ourselves as the voice of God, as a house of prayers, Jesus, let us see what you see. No, not just, you know, some great revelation. No, even that things that breaks his heart, things that grieve him, because that will bring us here to pray. Let us see what you see. Let us feel what you feel. He moved with compassion. His heart was grieved. He was broken. Why? Said this. He saw their sheep. Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Wow. And the better translation for weary and scattered is they were harassed. Army language would be they are being tekan. You know, by devil, by situation, by circumstances, by the storm. You know, it's like, this is, to me, I look at this, wow, this is so prophetic. Some storm is coming. If you go, you turn in verse 35, the greatest revival is coming. But the people of God is not really ready. They are scattered. They are harassed. They are going to be harassed. No, I'm not just talking about demons or whatever. No, you know, we all talk. I just read, Angel was writing that article on Joel 2. 4 common emotions is going to hit. In a way, it's going to harass us. What's the first one? Confusion. Confusion is not just end time shaking, no. There are many things which we are seeing right now. Because a lot of time, we narrow the confusion to just crisis and shaking. That will be one of it, but many, which we are actually seeing confusion, Eddie. Sexual confusion. Gender confusion. Identity confusion. God confusion. Who is God? We're actually seeing it. It's just that, do we see? Not just that great crisis has come. Of course, that's one of it. That's kind of like a crescendo of it. But we are slowly seeing the people of God being harassed. Because there's this confusion. You know, this sexual thing, this gender thing, this LGBT thing. What do you think? is the confusion that's happening. And who is God?